Good morning. Quite a gospel this morning, isn't it? Which part do you want to hear about? None of them. Okay, that's what I thought. Right. Let me unpack a little bit of this. As I was reading this, it reminded me of an incident that we had in Phoenix with my band. Our band rehearsed at the food bank because the keyboard player is the executive director of the food bank. So we had a room in there, which was our rehearsal room. And a lot of the volunteers would hear us, walking back and forth and here and there. And one of the volunteers was also the president of the Sun City Men's Club. And the Sun City Men's Club had a dance every year. So he invited us to come and play for the dance. And we, of course, were very excited about this. This is great. You know, if you can make it in Sun City, you can make it anywhere, I guess. I don't know. But there we were. And we set up, and people start coming in, and we see they're dressed in some pretty formal attire. The dresses were absolutely elegant and beautiful, and the men were in more than suits. It was a little more formal. And so we start playing our set, and what we discovered was they had all taken ballroom dancing, and that's what they were there for that evening. And, our band, we were okay, but one of the things that we wanted to prove was that white people could sing Motown. And this, it wasn't really going over in any way at all. And the crowd was getting hostile, very hostile. I mean, they'd come right up to us and say, right up to here, right at this, when we're performing this, and they would say, "What are you doing?" Somebody went over to my friend, the keyboard player, and I thought they were going to get into a fist fight. I mean, these people really wanted to do ballroom dancing that night, and they saw that it wasn't going to happen. Until we played Smokey's Ooh Baby Baby, they could do it to that one, but that was it. That was the only one they could do it to. So we ended early. We felt we should get out of there as quickly as possible, actually. And the president was there walking around thinking, this is great. What a great evening. And so we told him, we said, these people didn't want to do this. They were coming up in our face and worse. And he said, he hadn't even noticed. He said, really? He said, they didn't want what we had. They didn't. And he says, I didn't know that. I'm thinking, well, he'd heard us all those weeks rehearsing, and I guess he knew these people, but it just didn't work. So we packed up as soon as we could, and we left, fortunately, unscathed. So I'm thinking about this. What is going on here? And it seemed to me this person probably got stuck. I don't know. I didn't follow up with him, but I'm guessing. He probably got stuck in... Here you go, Marion. You got one? Okay, good. This person probably got stuck in what we like to call plug and play. You plug into a place on the organizational chart, and you take your turn, and then you come out, and you find somebody else to do it. And oftentimes, when you find somebody else to do it, you kind of say, well, it's your turn. You haven't had a turn. All kinds of things to press the guilt buttons. And we think that he got into that this way. And he was probably either not able to fulfill the job, or because he just wasn't paying attention, just had trouble paying attention and everything, or he may have been kind of afraid of making a mistake with these people, so he kept saying, everything is great. I took care of this. I got the band. I got this and I got that. And it didn't matter if it fit or not. He was just didn't want to make a mistake. So I thought, well, what he had done was internally, he put up a perimeter between himself and the group, the members of the men's club, because he didn't want them to get that close to him so that he would see if he made a mistake or did something wrong or didn't fulfill his job correctly. And what I want to suggest today is that it is possible for us to put a perimeter between us and God so that we think that God won't get as close as the Spirit of God wants to get with us. And that is what Jesus is talking about in the gospel today. And I want to unpack that a little bit. You remember last week, what we looked at is the perimeter that we can put up between us and some other people. And the perimeter between us and other people is so that we don't have to deal with them. And the perimeter we put up between us and God is so that God does not deal with us. We don't want that. At least I don't. I'd rather not have God deal with me. You may feel the same way. And that is what this section of the gospel is about today. In the second paragraph, the last couple of sentences, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, I want to immediately just take away any question at all. I don't know of anybody who takes this literally or ever heard of anybody who takes it. Maybe there has been, but I don't think so. Now, if there were in Christian history, there'd probably be entire denominations raised up around this, like the one-eyed Baptists, for example, or the prosthetic Episcopalians. That thing, you know, but that hasn't happened. That just hasn't happened. So we can take some comfort in that there's something else going on here that Jesus is really pointing us to. And I think Martin Luther really explained it the best when he was saying there are things in our hearts that we cut away and put them aside. Now, that can be also difficult to do. In fact, it's impossible for us to do on our own. What we need is the Spirit of God. And the things that Jesus mentions here and many other things as well, what we can do is that we can go into them as walls between us and God so that God doesn't come that close to us. We just there are things we don't want God to touch because they're ours. And we'd rather not have God do anything with that. Excuse me, sometimes it's our plans, and we think that our plans are really good, and we ask God to bless them, instead of taking the whole situation to God and asking God, what is your direction? Things like that can go on with us quite a bit. And often what can happen is that we will give ourselves a pass. That's what my doctor tells me when my blood pressure is too high. All right, I'll give you a pass. But we give ourselves a pass about lust and anger and retribution and contempt and all kinds of other things that you could think of. Violence, the violence that goes on in our hearts, we give ourselves a pass for that. And what Jesus is saying, if that's going on, what you need to do is cut it out and cast it away. Because those things are the perimeters that keep God away from us. We sometimes want them there. We actually build them so that God will not come to us. And if there's somebody who's hurt you, it is very tempting to want revenge. And you can keep building that revenge because you don't want God coming in and telling you, oh, no, we forgive. And what Jesus is saying is you want that revenge to be cut out and cast away. Anybody feeling better yet about this passage? that's those are steps that can be difficult for us to take, but they are the steps that God will use to restore to us all that He created us for, all that He wants us to know and understand and walk in and live in, all the things that sometimes get lost out of our lives because we have those perimeters up and the fullness of God, then we don't want the fullness of God to come through. But when we take them down, we openly, more than willingly, start receiving the things that God has for us, and the things that we lost are restored to what He wants. He created us to have. That's a very powerful part of living a Christian life. And sometimes that perimeter that we put up is something that is underneath the desire for retribution or revenge or violence or contempt or whatever your favorite one is. And what can be under that is a fear that God is actually out to get us, that God's angry with us, that we've done some things that we shouldn't have done, commonly called sin, and because we've sinned, that God is therefore really going to correct us severely so that we don't do that again. And so to not have that come close, sometimes we'll have other things cover it, like the desire for revenge. And we'll say, well, not only am I not going to let God get that close to me so that I'm punished for what I do, I'm going to do other things to take control of my own life so that nobody else tells me what to do. And if somebody hurts me, then there's going to be revenge. Or if somebody does something wrong that I don't think they should do, then there's going to be contempt. Now, we do that in a very nice fashion, but it's in there. It's just in there. And that's because we don't want that fear of being punished, of having God take care of us in a way that we think might be too hard. We don't want that to happen. Now, what I want to suggest to you, myself included, is that that set of beliefs, that if we sin, and maybe sin a few times, that God is going to correct us pretty bluntly, is a set of beliefs that we do not find in the gospel. Is a set of beliefs that is not part of the Christian faith. It is not something that Jesus taught or wants us to experience. It's actually a set of beliefs that is connected to a picture of God that is not the God of the Scriptures. It's not the God that we worship. It's not the God that we remember around this table. It is something that, shorthand, a false God. Because our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is not the God who is going to punish us for sins that we've committed, who's not going to hold it against us because of our fear, of our desire for revenge, or whatever it might be, any sin that we have. He's not going to hold it against us. He's not going to make us pay for it. And the reason He's not going to make us pay for it is because of the full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. To expect that God will look to us for payment for what we've done wrong is the same thing as saying that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was not big enough to cover my sins. And it is big enough to cover the sins of the entire world all throughout history. So what do you do? How do you get this perfect love to cast out this fear, this perimeter that we put up so that God won't get close enough to touch us like that? How do we get that out? How do we cut that away so that it's no longer holding us back? And I would like to suggest this to you as a step, that if you are thinking, I wished I could get revenge on this person, or I just have contempt for this, that, or the other thing, or any negative thing that comes along, no matter what it is, I want to suggest to you that that is a moment of the Spirit of God in your life. We like to call them Kairos moments. The time is filled with the Spirit of God, and those negative things are coming up. They're coming up because the Spirit of God is saying, I have something better for you. I have something maybe you haven't dreamed of, but is something better for you. And if you would take that opportunity to turn towards the Spirit of God and lean in and even just ask the question and say, well, God, what is it that you want to get across to me right now? Because I would just love to have revenge. I would just love to keep expressing my contempt. I would just love to do, you know, whatever it is. But what do you choose to get across to me right now? I stand on the foundation of what the Lord Jesus has done and am confident in every way that what God will get across to you and me at that moment is not straighten up or else. What God will get across to us at that moment is this: you are my child, and in you I am well pleased. I will never leave you or forsake you. And in this matter, I am empowering you for forgiveness or whatever it may be. I stand on that knowing that will happen every time. And that word, in which God says, my love will cast out all fear, is the good news. Because if you're thinking, I've sinned and God's going to get me, I would call that bad news. And it is the good news of God that will cast out that bad news. And you might, 15 minutes later, want that revenge again. But that's the Spirit of God bringing it up again. And once again, he'll say, you are my child, and in you I am well pleased. God will continually keep communicating that to us in one way or another. And out of that identity of us being his children will come the steps that he wishes for us to take in that particular situation. That is what it is to live the Christian life, is to have the bad news cast out by the good news of God. So I want to encourage you to do this, even if it's this morning in church, the next time any of these negative things come up, violence, contempt, lust, revenge, retribution, and you can add your own list, anytime it comes up, you lean into the Spirit of God right there and say, what do you want to get across to me, Lord Jesus? And let the one who is called the Word speak a word into your soul. You may not get out of your tough situation, but you'll hear the words of life and be able to grow in it because of what he is giving to you. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us, that your perfect love casts out all fear, that your good news casts out the bad news. And we ask that today you would lead us in that. We have the capacity for that that we've never had before. And we would be able to walk in those steps all the days of our life for the glory of your name. Amen.